floor apartment of the car, which was on the right hand side. The gear sticks on the left hand side. Anyway, I couldn't find it, so I went home. And I told my neighbour, who was a lovely lady, very practical lady, she said, my goodness, I would go, like you were saying about the penguin, I would go with a fine tooth comb over this whole grass to find the stone. So I thought, well, I'll get my son and all his friends together and said, a reward will be made if somebody can scan the whole grass area, which was massive in the backyard, to find the stone. Anyway, the whole thing was that it came back the other side, this is an omen, and to let go of this whole affair and not to worry. It was obvious the ring had not brought luck and it was finished. This was a good sign, positive sign, forget it. So it was all forgotten. 2 weeks passed and my son was cleaning the car. And I'm there on the floor scrubbing the kitchen floor and very much tied up in my work, as I say, you know, through the emotions. It's a very good thing, as the other always says, to get tied up. Right. And I'm there sweating away on the floor in the kitchen by this time. And my son is standing tall alongside me, and he said to me, you know the stone, you know your diamond stone that you had lost? He said, what would you give me if I would happen to find this? And I'm so wrapped up in my work that I sort of said, well, Adrian, if you found this, I said, half of it's yours. Half of this stone will be yours, you know? And he cunningly comes with him out of his jean pocket and says, is this it? Like this to me. And I just stopped everything after 2 weeks, letting go and saying this was it. But the irony behind the whole thing, that my son cockingly said that he thought that this ring belonged half to him because he found the stone, that eventually I had it valued, and I went back to the place, this antique shop that it was purchased from, and he had forgotten about me being in the shop, and I had the certificate of valuation that he had drawn up, everything, with me. Didn't tell him that the ring was purchased in the shop. And he said, yes, I'll give you $200 for this ring. Mm. So after all that, the whole thing...
But I thought it was worth much more.
Yeah, the price of the ring was $1,700. He had sold it for $1,700.
And he only wants to give it $200.
And he then, 18 months later, had valued it at $200. And it got to be put in the paper and everything of this man. But it was a diamond. And also, everything like this, because it was a trend of blue diamond, white diamond, square cup, different cup, I said, that's the last time I ever want to see a diamond in my life again. If anyone hands me a diamond, I'll throw it in the ocean. There's nothing for my life is a diamond. So for all the kerfuffle that was,
Isn't it almost seem sometimes like the inanimate things have a mind of their own, you know? They think, they talk with you. And sometimes I find myself arguing with them. I said, look, if I write here and I looked twice here and you went here, how does something, the third time you write here, my scissors or comb or whatever it is. But this made me think of how when Baba would touch the photos, each one. So sometimes in the morning when Baba would come over to the men's side, the men mandali, I would follow with a box of these photos ready for Baba to touch each one. And that's the time when I would see something going on here between Baba and the men. It's a very heartwarming little incident that I remember. I had the opportunity to be witness to because of the photos. So one day I came here and said, now this is in the 68, and Baba is not very strong. It was the last. So when I came here, I just stood there, because Baba had told me to do it. So I just stood there, Baba turned around and says, what is it? I thought he was so busy with it. What is it? I said, Baba, the photo said, but Baba, you don't have to. You don't have to touch them, you know? Yeah, I showed him the box. I opened the cover. I said, just touch like that, and then, you know, I don't want to bother you with each photo, but just. Sir Babaji. That's the top. And I was going away. I went to the up to the entrance door here, and suddenly I turned and said, "Well, Baba, it's all right, isn't it, that I write to the person receiving these and then distributing them? If I write that you have touched everyone, because you know, that's how it usually is. But I mean, I can say that, isn't it? Because I was feeling, how do I say that? Because Baba only touched the top one. It's all right, isn't it, if I..." And Baba said, "Charlie said, of course. I did touch each one. By that time, I'm close to him." And he says, he just did one thing. "When I touch the top like that, I not only touch each picture, but I touch the space that's between the box and the floor, and I touch way in." Look at the might of that. Baba declaring that, and that really was awesome. And I said to myself afterwards, which also answers my question of what I put forward, what happens when one loses something, you know, that's precious like that, which Baba has touched, like a Baba button or something like that. That Baba, by being on this very earth, his blessing is so vast, so big, so mighty, that everything is touched. So when he bathed his feet in the ocean, in Bombay, when he did in Myrtle Beach, when he washed his hands in the river, the water, it's just universal. The very earth he walks, he's blessing the very earth with his touch, not just this or that, there's more or less, but it's never untouched. Nothing is untouched. It's all. It's easy. Up to Lady Two. And what we are attached to, our attachment is different. It's more here, less here, that. But his giving is unstinted, is unlimited, is no boundary to it, no shore to it. It's just, he is, as he says, the ocean. So that, when I'm standing there, seeing Baba looking, not looking strong, not looking, you know, Baba looking weak, Baba looking frail. And yet when he said that, he was so much God. You know, I mean, which is an unusual thing for us to feel at that, in our daily activity with Baba. But I stood there, there was a, you know, this awesome feeling. Baba just very casually said that. Right through, just that little gesture he made.
This reminds me of...
This pendant is touched. Hare Baba. Everyone is going to come to kiss him. Miriam, I didn't know it was touched by Baba. She kissed it twice yesterday.
This reminds me of... does anybody know Carol Singer?
No.
Huh?
She sings?
No.
Carol. No. Carol Singer had once come here and
you
she told
me... You mean the surname singer? Carol yeah. Singer. Yes, yes, I remember. Yes.
Short.
Yes.
You know, yeah.
Yes.
So, well... She one day comes to me and says, "Eirach, is it true that wives are carried over spatially through metallic substances?" I said, "I don't know about it. But I remember one thing, that Baba would ask us to give us a coin when Baba would want to give some present to the mast. So he would not want us to give him some paper money, but coins."
That's it.
So I don't know. But I think, my conjecture is, that why he wouldn't want them to have paper money, because they were so careless about it, they might crumple it, and so that's why. But maybe it is that, who knows. "Why are you asking that?" I asked her. "No," I said, "you know, you see this ring that I've got?" So she took the ring out of her finger. "So can you read something inside?" At that time, I was not wearing specs. My eyes were all right. So I said, "Yeah, it is Avatar Mahesh Baba." "So what is it?" So one day I showed it to Ivy Dews, and seemed that she told me that, "Be very careful that you're wearing it somebody's impressions might be there. So, but how did you get it? I said. So that's the reason why she told me. I said, what happened? What's the story behind it? One day, I was waiting for some transportation and suddenly a car stopped to help me, to pick me up. It's not regular hitchhiking, but something happened and the man inside said that, you want a lift? I said, yeah, I want to go. He said, come inside. So that's how I got inside the car. And when I am entering inside the car, he must have spotted the button, Baba button on my dress. And I said, who is that? Whose picture is that? He said, well, it's my master, Avatar Meher Baba. Oh. Then he started asking and all that sort of things. I told him about whatever I knew about Baba and my love for him and his love for us all and this and that, and we went on. Then the time came when he had to drop me, so he stops the car and says, will you mind visiting my shop? I'm a jeweler. I said, where? So he gave me the address. Do come and see me. I have something for you. So one day I went to him, to his shop, and he was very happy to see me. And he goes and fiddles inside the drawers and all that. And there he brings out this ring. It's a silver ring. I says, instead of it lying in my drawer, I wish that you could wear it. Because you can appreciate it better. He says, just this ring? Well, what will I do with this ring? He says, see what is inside. So there he made me read Avatar Meher Baba, and I loved it and I wore it and I thanked him and this and that. Why did you give me? Why? He says, no, but because you can appreciate it. It's all lying in my drawer. It came in a big lot for an auction sale or something like that. And therefore I had it. And
so when somebody was lost, somebody
So then she was wearing it, and then one day it happened that she naturally was in contact with Ivy, and Ivy said that it's not good, you know, because metals carry impressions and all that. So is it proper for me to wear it? I said, why not? All the impressions are washed out by the name of the impressionless one, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So that's how it is. Is she still wearing that ring?
He's talking about sure. Impressions. Yeah. There's one short thing, Erich. When you were talking just now about that girl asking about impressions, Baba was seated here, and something had happened one day here when I was standing there. And he was saying, you all who are mine, don't worry about sanskaras, and you have nothing to do, you know. That's nothing. That's unimportant. Now, he said, even if you blink, you form an impression, a sanskara, even this. And if you start thinking about these things, you will go mad. You know, nothing. You have nothing to do with that. Because when you think of Baba, when you are Baba, when you love Baba, all these things get neutralized. So that ring, of course, is Baba. But that's very interesting. And it doesn't answer my question. That's probably where it's gone. In an auction, and some Baba is
gone. Yeah, yeah. The one who needs most is there.
I think Mara's coming now, we're ready. But you're looking very uncomfortable. You're going to sit like this. Why is this thing here?
I don't know. No, I'm fine.
It's not lost where he's concerned. It's made use of by somebody who deserves to make use of it.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to another Sunday program at Marizad on a very beautiful, sunny day. To open the program today, we are going to give you a taste of the biggest hit in the United States right now, and I know you've heard a little bit about it, but it's that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. And just as an example, Pam will show you, they're selling t-shirts now. T-shirts and mugs and posters that just say, don't worry, be happy on them. So who knows, you know, Baba's doing something there. It's a number one in the United States, number one. So, I'm glad you remembered. There seems to be a little part that keeps repeating itself. It's a melody. And please sing along. You can sing do-do-do-do or ba-ba-ba-ba. That's fine. Okay, so let's get our clicks together. Also, you can click with us. Everybody do.
Might want to sing it note for note, but don't worry,
don't worry, be happy now.
In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double,
Millions of them.
Come on, adventure, you like to stand.
So now, Baba thinks we're not fast enough spreading his message, so he just
step in.
That's the first one. You know, there's a medal and a medallion there. Don't try to understand me, just love me. That again now, this was bought at the store.
Huh. So really?
Oh, wow. That's not true. I'm not doing it too that way. Yeah.
And now to continue, now to continue with our program, we have hot from New York City and New Jersey, Jerry Edwards. Wow.
I don't know how hot this is.
New York City.
It's hot. It's hot.
It's hot.
We're hot.
Yes. I'm going to do Sunny Side of the Street or Baba Side of the Street. And I know some of you have been singing along with me. I'd like everyone to join in with me.
Okay. Get your hat. Don't forget your coat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Life can be so sweet.
BBC has a special presentation planned for us, and she will tell us all about it.
Wow!
Live from the BBC.
Well, Jerry Barber, that is going to be a very hard act to follow. When I arrived here, I had with me some cassettes that I have to take to the United States. Of some programs that have been made recently. And it's a very special occasion for me to be able to play a short excerpt from one of these audio cassettes in Manderley Hall today, in front of Mera and such an august gathering, especially as these programs have not yet been broadcast. They will not be broadcast in Britain until May 1989. They will eventually be available on cassette free in Europe for educationists and teachers. Because this was a special project that BBC Education has done with the Council of Europe, for the Council of Europe, on the subject of human rights. In the BBC Education Department, my responsibility, through Baba, is for the older teenagers, programs for older teenagers. And the Council of Europe wanted some programs that would present to a generation of young Europeans who had not known war the significance of human rights under the European Convention on Human Rights, the meaning of those rights to young people today in terms of their responsibilities and their duties. So the first program had to, in 20 minutes, give a history of the European Convention through two world wars and Churchill and Eleanor Roosevelt and the United Nations Declaration on Human Rights and the eventual founding of the Council of Europe, right up to the present day, to how human rights is something that affects young people in Europe. They tend to think that it's something that's happening in Chile or in the prisons of South Africa, and all they have to do is pay a subscription to Amnesty or go to the Amnesty concerts, and that's all they need to do. But all these young people identify with one minority group or another, either as women, the whole world is against me because I'm a woman, or as a handicapped person, the whole world is against me because I'm disabled, or as an Eastern European, all the rest are against me because I'm from the East and not from the West, or as a black person, or as a Jewish person, or as a person from Turkey, or as a person from North Africa. They all have their allegiance to a particular minority group, and they complain and often don't know how to do anything about it, when in fact there is a procedure for them to take the responsibility themselves to protect their rights and, in a sense, to protect their identity. So the first program said what those rights are. The second program looked at one particular minority group, the gypsies. So whether you were Jewish, or whether you were black, or whether you were a woman, or whether you were disabled, you still had to recognize the rights of one small minority group that is persecuted throughout Europe. The third program looked at young people's sense of discrimination, so that it is in the words of the young people themselves that we hear about not only their sense of injustice, I am black and therefore this is wrong, or I am disabled, or I am in care, but also what they're doing to make self-help groups and to pursue justice, if you like, at a local level, at a national level, and, because of the European Convention, at an international level. However, I think Baba has used this in a slightly different way for his work as well. And Marnie touched on this when she talked about how Baba had a passport as a world citizen. And we here, Westerners here, have been talking in the past couple of weeks about how the British feel discriminated against because they're the descendants of monkeys, and how the Americans feel discriminated against because there's anti-American feeling, or how the Australians feel discriminated against because they don't speak English properly, or whatever.
Is that true?
So what I'm going to play you now is 4 minutes, 35 seconds. So if it's not your cup of tea, please just bear with me. It is quotes from what the young people have said in the previous part of the program. This song comes at the end. It's in a modern idiom. I'm told the rhythm is salsa rhythm. I don't know about these things. It was put together by a young composer technician, and he's taken bits of their voices and woven them together into a rap. There is also a song at the end, and it's done in a hip-hop scratch mix kind of style of presentation. and I hope you enjoy it. To start off with, you hear the presenter saying, you are now going to hear about a young European who has started a European self-help group for minorities. That is very short. It's a young Turkish student who says something quite important, but he has got a slight Turkish accent, and then it goes into the song that you'll hear.
Student living in Germany, Turgut Orhan is faced with many aspects of discrimination. He is the organizer of one of these European minority groups.
The idea of the European network umbrella organization is really to bring people together and to fight for our rights. And it is an educational process. We must go through that, we all of us, and we must realize that we do have rights and that we are human beings, part of the society here where we are living now. And still, if we do cooperate all together, we can find a kind of identification.
And he hopes that young Europeans can start working towards a new sense of identity, seeing themselves as part of a greater consciousness instead of allowing differences to divide. Differences to divide.
Discrimination.
Integration. Identity. Differences to divide.
He's rich.
I'm poor. It says no gypsies on the door.
Discrimination.
I'm brown.
He's black.
What's your handicap?
Differences to divide.
I'm Christian. She's a Jew.
I'm Islamic.
He's Hindu.
Identity.
She's orange and green.
You're garbage.
How can you say that?
He's straight.
I'm gay. I'm different from the rest. Okay.
Identity.
You're talking crap. That's your handicap.
Differences.
Whatever the minority, we've got to think equality.
Integration.
Differences are here to stay, so let's move on from here. Let's move on.
every word was clear.
I'm very glad, because they have been designed for personal stereo, so young people can listen on their personal headset and then have discussion afterwards. So the cassettes will be distributed for young people to listen in stereo, which is why we've tried to use the most advanced technology in terms of stereo sound and sampling and everything you heard there to appeal to their sense of sound quality.
Yes. 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 Have you all together in a song like that? Yes. Yes. Well, here's a hand to BBC too.
Comment, because somebody said something about salsa, but salsa is a blend of various types of culture music too. It combines the Afro-Cuban with the with black, with a whole bunch of things. And that's where it comes to rap type music and everything. It's a combination. It's not just one musical form. It's a wide variety of backgrounds. It kind of fits with the medium of the thing itself.
Thank you.
Okay.
And I'd like to make a little comment on this, different accents that countries don't understand. You know, Indian accent is difficult for the Westerners to understand. And the Australian accent is difficult for anybody to understand.
I was talking to an Indian person,
and I was translating from one to the other in English. English into English, English into English. So he would say what he had to say, and the other one would look at me, and then I'd explain to him. He'd say something in English, and Francis would look at me, and I'd explain to him. After a while, I said, this is crazy, what am I doing?
So treat today. We have Kusum Singh from Delhi, and for those of you who don't know, Kusum has been with Baba for many, many years and sang before Baba himself, and will be singing today for us as well. Tell us about
that.
Thank you.
This is just loose, so whatever you want to do.
And I think she's, if you're singing a song that you have sung to Baba, please also tell us that.
All right. Would you like to hear a little bit of this first, Kusum?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to use the tape a bit too.
Thank you.
happy birthday, patatari, happy birthday, patatari.
सब हम सफर हैं।